Shalom to the true bride of Christ worldwide. Shalom to the lovers of truth also worldwide. I'm Pastor Moses Alu, the overseer of the Bride Assembly Church in Lagos. I am also a teacher of the Word of God. Brethren, according to God's divine agenda, we all know that we are now in the season of the manifestation of the virgins of this age. The Lord Jesus Christ, in a parable of the virgins in Matthew 25 from verse 1, if we read it through, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2 says, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. That's where the emphasis is, the wise and the foolish virgins. The difference between the wise and the foolish ones is from verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After all came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We are all expecting the coming of the Lord. Definitely, this age shall produce both the wise and the foolish virgins. We shall be manifested by their response to the shout message that's delivered to us in this age. The shout message is the scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Concerning the coming of the Lord, it starts with a shout. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ refers to as the midnight cry. The fan in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 3 verse 12 is now blowing to purge his flock and separate the wheat from the chaff in this age. For according to Matthew 13 verse 30, the wheat and the tares are now maturing and it will soon be time for the separation. Heresies are abounding everywhere now for those approved to be made manifest. But remember, approval comes only when tested against the absolute word of God, the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, remember the Bible says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, verse 2 says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Also in Matthew 24, and verse 45, if we read it through to verse 51, he said, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? And he's talking about the fivefold ministry. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkard, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. I believe, brethren, as also a servant of God to serve the meat in this season of perfection under the harvesting rain known as the latter rain of James 5:8. And brethren, also as one of the scribes also instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, there is need for me to take all my followers again to look into the end time message or doctrines to ensure the lambs are properly trimmed. Once again, I am Pastor Moses Alu, the overseer of the Bride Assembly Church in Lagos. Please, I invite you to join me as we take a look again at some of these doctrines with a view to properly trim our lamps in a series we will be taking titled Trimming the Lamp. Stay tuned and you will not regret being part of this session. Shalom and shalom again. Amen. Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide and welcome to another episode of Trimming the Lamp. Today we'll be looking at the topic of the absolute of a believer, the absolute of a Christian. The word absolute is an English word with a definition. It is anything viewed or existing independently and not in relation to other things. That is not relative or comparative. I repeat that definition. Anything viewed or existing independently and not in relation to other things is absolute. That is, it's not relative or comparative. It stands authority, finality, absolute. And concerning our salvation, certainly, and God's divine agenda for redemption, the word of God from God alone remains the absolute of the believer. And so the standard, the Bible standard, the Bible has become the standard to know and accept any doctrine, any teaching or prophecy, anything at all concerning salvation. The Bible is what God has given us. It's the guide. And therefore, anything contrary to that will be another absolute. It stands alone, the Word of God, as far as our bearing for salvation is concerned. And that is why in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and up to verse 9, Apostle Paul had reason to tell the Galatians. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I hope you are getting the definition of absolute. It's not comparative. It's not relative. Which is not another, but it will happen. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Then Apostle Paul added, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He repeated in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So you see the certainty, the authority, the finality of the word of God. And so in Revelation chapter 22, after John gave all the revelation he received, verse 18 and verse 19, in Revelation chapter 22, he said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And verse 19 says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Even in the Old Testament, in the dressing of Aaron, the high priest, included was the Urim and Thummim that was placed in his chest with the 12 stones are representing, of course, we all know, once it's 12 like that, we know it's the 12 tribes of Israel. Something peculiar. God designed it himself. If you say that you have a revelation from God, a prophecy from God, a vision from God, a message from God to the people of Israel, nobody argues with you because there's going to be a test with the absolute, God himself. And the Urim and Thummim will confirm it. If you speak and it is not from God, then get ready to die. Ah, thank God for grace. I don't know how many people who have been messing up with Thus Saith the Lord will have been stoned to death. Get ready to die because they will stone you in Israel. And so the Urim and Thummim became the standard to know whether this is of God or not. So also is the Bible. It is our standard. And why will Apostle Paul give that warning and even lay a curse on anyone that will say anything contrary to what they have preached? And why will John, in the Isle of Patmos, after giving that revelation, lay that curse on anyone that will add or remove from the prophecies of that book he has written, the messages? The reason is because Satan is always at it to create confusion in every move of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, for instance, verse 3 and verse 4, you see the same Apostle Paul, you know, saw something, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, cunning, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that come a preacher, you see, another Jesus, whom you have not preached, we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received. Or another gospel. So you see, there's another Jesus, there's another spirit, there's another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And he went to verse 13 of that same scripture. He said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And he says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his minister, you see, Satan has ministers, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Apostle Paul warned again in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, and this is the latter times, the end time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy. They have no conscience, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And that is what Christ, in the parable of Matthew 13, from verse 24 to verse 30, was saying, giving us a picture of what the church will look like. He said, another parable putting forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, that is the church age period, is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field, that is the church. But while men slept, all the apostles and all the early leaders of the faith, they died. His enemy, the enemy of Christ, is the Antichrist. Is Satan himself, using his ministers, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had the tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up, finish them? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. This will be their end in this end time. Let both grow together until the harvest, end time. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, he, God, will send the reapers himself to do a job of separating the wheat from the tares. Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Of course, that is the rapture. And don't think that we started, it's just this end time, this spirit started working. For Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, he made a statement there. He said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work back then. Only he who now later will let until he be taken out of the way. That is why in Jude, verse 3 and verse 4, Jude had to make that statement where he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend. At that time, for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why did he say so? For there are certain men crept in, ministers of Satan, unawares. Because it was when, you know, revival is going on, this thing was going on, and people didn't know. But he said, they have been before of old ordained to this condemnation. It will certainly happen. God knew they would do it. Refer to them as ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say deny him, they are not saying Jesus didn't exist. What we are saying is they reject his word. When you reject the word of God, you deny him. When you do all the nonsense everybody is saying to them in Christendom, everything else that put in the name of the Lord to disrepute, to disgrace, doing all the abominables that are going on in the Church of Jesus Christ today. But Christ himself also warned in Matthew 24, verse 3 to verse 5 first. This is what the question, they asked him this question, and as they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us. Because he was telling them of things that will come to pass before he will come back. Before the end of this system will come. He said, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, the first warning, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I am anointed, and shall deceive many. Why did he talk about deception? Deception is the first thing, deceit, the spirit of deceit, and it is a satanic spirit. When you are deceived, you are put away from the truth. You are removed from the absolute of the word of God. And in verse 11 of the same Matthew 24, in verse 11, he said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Go to verse 23. Still the same warning. False prophet. Then future. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ. Oh dear, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But I thank God, there's something about the elect that they cannot easily be deceived. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. Just know, this is how the coming of the Lord will be. And he stresses it from verse 27 up to verse 28. Why it is necessary for us to bring this out for the bride of Jesus Christ, lovers of truth, and people who are sincere about their walk with God. Not religious people. Not people that are not ready for any further light. Not foolish virgins. That's where you see the manifestation of the foolish virgins. You just say you don't want to know anything more. You've built a wall around yourself. We are this, we are that, we are this, we are that. God sent us the perfecting ministry through the ministry of William Branham. But that same spirit crept in even while William Branham was around. While he was still alive. It was a demon that came into that revival. He will always do it. And begin to look at William Branham more than what God has made him. How can somebody look at the Bible and look at the agenda of God and look at the human being and begin to deify that human being? That's the spirit of idolatry. What have you been delivered from? It's a Gentile spirit. We know no other thing other than idol. You only see, once they see any manifestation of the supernatural, they start to worship it. That is the problem with Christianity today. And if you are looking for supernatural, Satan has it to show you. And so before you know what, William Branham, his word is now made absolute because they look at him as Elohim. Some people actually believe it's Elohim appearing in the flesh, like Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. Can you see the Antichrist spirit? Children of hell, satanic seeds planted in the church of Jesus Christ, worse than tares. For anybody to say he's even a preacher of the gospel of salvation, to ever compare any man, directly or indirectly, with the Lord Jesus Christ in placement, you are a devil yourself. And that is what has given rise to playing tape only, because they can't hear any other thing. They have built a wall around themselves. Messages that I preached how many years ago, no more further light. The reason is, all the mysteries have been revealed already by William Branham. How can? And even when you look at it, I've not seen any one single mystery that William Branham brought. It's just one of those things. You see, there's always an anointing around you. When you go around, you see them shouting, excited. Talk about Jesus, you don't see them, excited. But you talk about that, their idol. Come and see how excited they are. And you want to know how devilish they are. You speak against that idol, they'll be ready to finish you. But speak about against the Lord Jesus Christ, no, nothing will happen. That's where you see the spirit. You see? And they are given, therefore they give you all manner of titles, Son of Man, Christ, Elohim, and whatever else titles they give them. But William Branham never portrayed himself in any light that would produce that. It's the Antichrist spirit. That man was humble, and he kept emphasizing that he will decrease and Christ will increase, because he came to bring back Jesus Christ out of the pages of this book, the Bible. He came to point us, to deliver us from the hand of the Antichrist false teachers. Bring us out of denominationalism so that we have the liberty of the Spirit to keep moving on and moving on and moving on. He brought us to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He brought us to true liberty of the Spirit. And he has always emphasized that his absolute is the Bible. I love what our brother did when he tried to also attack this spirit. And I agree with him totally. A very beautiful compilation and a very beautiful response to those who would try to deify William Branham and downplay the Bible. Do you know that some people don't read the Bible again? Some of the followers of that ministry, other sects. They have different sects. I'll come to that shortly. Let's take a little break. And when we come back, we will listen to what our brother has spoke concerning William Branham being the absolute or not. Stay tuned. It is Trimming the Lamp.